This podcast contains adult themes, language, and situations. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Well, greetings, hello to all the pups and pup lovers listening in. I am Barely Normal.
And I am Canes. Bark, bark.
And I'm Loki. Hi.
And you are listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast about human puppy play and adult consensual sexual kinks. That's a tongue twister. I will tell you right now. Consensual sexual kinks. Today's subject is all about puppy gear. So, what is puppy gear?
So puppy gear can be all sorts of things. We're going to go through a lot of examples of this stuff. And again, you don't necessarily need it to go into headspace like our previous episode talked about. You don't need gear whatsoever to get into headspace. But gear can be a trigger for that headspace. And we're going to talk a lot about gear. And some of it can be, you know, for headspace, or it can also be for safety as well. Something that, you know, for examples, we'll get into hoods. Okay. For instance, So puppy hoods, Okay. They come in all kinds of shapes, sizes, styles, colors, material, being used. So some of them, are leather, neoprene, rubber, you can have muzzles, you can have leather muzzles and neoprene, you know, body to it. There's all sorts of different kinds, and there's a bunch of different companies that are coming out with this stuff too. It's not necessarily just Mr. S, which is really good, right? Because and yes, there is a big difference from other companies versus Mr. S. Mr. S has it down to a very, very specific niche market, and they are very good at what they do. But there's also, you know, Amazon and other places that you can get the same type of thing, but it's less like a less of a professional look, but it still does the same thing and helps you get into that headspace, especially for new pups.
Well, yeah, I mean, a new pup, I wouldn't necessarily entice them to go spend $1,000 on pup gear right off the bat. I mean, you should probably get started with something basic and simple off of Amazon. I mean, you can get a pup hood for what, $25, $30 on Amazon?
Oh yeah. Amazon, $25, $30. It gets you actually, like, if you spend like $50 on Amazon, you can get like a, last time I looked, but you can get a pup hood, a collar, a armband, all together, and a harness, sometimes too, all matching color. Like, again, it's not the greatest of quality, and yes, it's probably going to break in, you know, a couple of years, but, it is definitely a great starting point for a new
pup. But you get a couple of years out of it, and then you learn if that's something you're comfortable with, and then you could spend more money with it. Yeah.
Correct.
So exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, and then there's other companies out there. I mean, Amazon, there's Mr. S. There's probably, I know there's a company called Fort Trough, and they're really getting into the puppy gear stuff as far as mitts for your hands.
Yeah.
Knee pads. They've got a binding setup now for binding your arms and binding your legs as part of the pup gear, and they've got a whole separate page for pup gear on Fort Trough now, which I thought was kind of interesting. I've been a customer of theirs for a number of years, and the pup gear is something that's new to them. So
yeah, I know in terms of, like, I guess online stores, Unless right. you can go in person, then I would recommend going in person. That way you can, you know, for fitting or see if that's something that fits, you know, how you want to look or how you want to portray yourself.
Right.
But if that's not an option, you know, look at something that piques your interest. Like, ooh, that looks really interesting. I like this one over this one, etc. But to name a few other, like, business manufacturers for puppy stuff and things along that nature, it would be like, you can get stuff off Amazon, you can get stuff off Wish, Mr. S, Rough Stuff, which they're based in the UK, Mr. Bear, they're based in Canada, Etsy is worldwide. Regulation is, I think...
overseas.
Yeah, I think it's in England as well, but I could be wrong about that, so don't quote me on that. There's also Wet Hot. They make... I think they predominantly focus on the rubber hoods. Then there's probably a few dozen others that are specific towards puppy stuff. But all of the ones mentioned, to my knowledge, unless COVID has messed things up even more in their local area.
Right. Yeah.
To my knowledge, though, they all ship internationally. There may be a little bit of a fee for international shipping, because if anyone's ordered anything overseas, you know that there's, like, the extra fee for overseas, you know,
and the extra transit. Time.
Yeah.
Because it's got to sit in customs for, I mean, I ordered something.
For a week.
Well, no, I ordered something in February, and it just showed up this week. So, because it sat in customs. I had no idea that I was ordering it from overseas, because I ordered it on Amazon. And I thought, okay. And they're like, it's sitting in customs. I'm like, why? I didn't know it was coming from overseas. So
yeah,
it was okay, but yeah.
That's the...
but the problem is, for locally, you can't really necessarily, I mean, okay. So I live in Oregon, and there's really no place that you could go locally to get pup gear. You have to do it online or make a trip to someplace where there's a store. Now, there's a store up in Portland called Spartacus. I know, so trendy. But they are not specific to the gay or the kink world. They're mostly for, I would say, straight kink, if that can be something that can be described. Is that a thing, straight kink?
Yeah, I would definitely say that that would be like a category in a way.
Yeah.
So,
and they tend to, I don't know, cater to the straight. I mean, you walk in and all the displays are all the girly lingerie and stuff, and it's like, oh, you want gay or pup stuff? It's in the back behind the. It's kind of like going to the old video stores where you wanted the adult movies. You had to go behind the door to get to it. You know, that stuff's really kinky. You can't get that out in the open.
Yeah. It's in a regard like that, like a lot of people would probably, understand that would be like Adam and Eve or like Seductions, right? They're predominantly focused on male to female, interest, or like the stereotypical submissive female. Obviously, that's not the case in a lot of things, because...
Or dominant female.
Right.
The doms, yeah.
Exactly.
The sex doms.
So, yeah, I mean, there are locations that are predominantly focused around straight sexual interactions, male-female audiences. Mm-hmm. But even like Adam and Eve, right? Mm-hmm. At my local store... Which I don't go there very often, but you know, might as well every now and then. Not going to hurt.
Check out what the straights are doing. Why not? You know. It's kind of like the straights coming to the gay clubs. They come to the gay clubs because the music is better, and all the straight women don't have to worry about getting hit on when they come to the gay clubs. I've gone to gay clubs up in Portland, and there's more straight women at the gay clubs than gay men sometimes. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
It's definitely a thing, yeah.
but yeah, so like at the Adam and Eve over by where I live currently, they have a section that is not being like, this is for you gay bitches. Mm-hmm. Right, It's not in that sense.
Okay.
It's more like, well, this is probably for our gay customers, but we're not really going to, you know, advertise it as that, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's going to be kind of like a quote-unquote gender-neutral situation, but they're like, yeah, no straight guy is probably ever going to touch these. No woman's probably ever going to touch these unless, you know, she's thinking about shoving it in her lady counterpart. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
her lady counterpart. Okay.
Hooker, significant other. I mean,
significant other, lesbian lover, whatever it is. Remember, this is an NSFW podcast in case nobody has figured that out yet. So let me ask you a question about what constitutes puppy gear.
So puppy gear is more, I guess, visual more than anything. Okay. Until you start getting into like the safety things, right? Mm-hmm. So for puppy gear, obviously, the hoods are pretty common, right? Whether it's a full hood or it's a muzzle, which is just like the snout.
Right.
And then it's like a head harness kind of thing.
Okay. Right.
So that way it's not completely around. Some people get claustrophobic in the full hoods, so right. they can still have the puppy effect without everything being like covered and, you know, concealed. And some people like that. It's the ease of, you know, access type of thing, usually what a lot of people use it for. And then outside mm-hmm. of that, you know, it could be just, you know, whatever I feel like putting on a hood, but I don't feel like going through the effort of actually putting on, you know, a pup hood. I just want to mm-hmm. do a couple snaps and then, you know, be done, mm-hmm. which is fine. You know, everyone has their own preference. Everyone has their specific things that they like and dislike about certain things. And that's, I think it's important that, you know, when someone figures out, hey, this is something that I want to do, mm-hmm. then they can go into exploring like, hey, this type of hood, maybe, you know, I may not be interested in it right now, but, you know, it seems, you know, I have the money and it's not going to financially disrupt me, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I want to try it. So, you know, if that is the case, obviously don't put yourself in a bad financial decision because you're wanting to try different things. I would say wait.
Don't give up your rent to buy a hood. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. okay. Jesus, please don't do that.
Don't do that. No.
Like, having a place to live is more important.
Yes. Well,
by far.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there you go.
Depends on your situation. But anyways.
Right. Exactly.
But no, don't put yourself in a bad financial decision because you want to explore new things or get new gear, whatever the case may be. That's not what you want to do. What you want to do is like if there's something you're wanting to try and say it's like $300 or whatever, right? The best financial decision, yeah. right? You're mm-hmm. getting paychecks. Obviously, at some point in time, you have leftover finances because you're covering everything, right? Mm-hmm. So you have, like, if you just paid your bills and the necessary stuff, you know, groceries, gas, insurance, whatever, considerations, mm-hmm. And continuing on from that. So you have, like, $400 left over at the end of the, like, month, right? Mm-hmm. Put, like, $100 back or whatever, you know, if you have the finances to do that, and then put the rest in, like, a savings account for like a rainy day fund kind of thing, right? Because that's the most responsible financial thing you can do because unexpected costs come up. You can't,
oh, sure.
can't yeah. guarantee that they won't because that's stupid. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But putting like the $100 back, you know, that puts it back to like getting things that you may enjoy and you may want in the future. Like for me, right, I want to get a rubber suited that's completely fitted, right? Mm-hmm. Not a zip-up one, but a step-in type, right? No zipper anywhere. It just stretches and conforms to the body. Well, a lot of the places that sell them are, like, in the $1,000 range of the really, sure. really nice ones that you get customized and everything, which is really cool. And I'd like to do that one day. But obviously, I'm not going to drop $1,000 and be like, oh, this month I want it. Not doing that.
Sure, right. Right. And you don't need it to be a puppy.
No, you need absolutely no gear. Okay. I can speak from personal experience that I had no gear for because I was starting to try out the puppy things on my own from like 16 and a half, 17. And like previously mentioned, I didn't get a hood until my 19th birthday. And I was still able to get into puppy headspace, you know, before then and enjoy it.
Did you keep it hidden when you were that young?
That I was
it
in
a
puppy
secret
play?
Pleasure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just checking.
I had some interesting family.
I didn't mean to trigger anything. I apologize if I did.
You're all good. My brain just stops working half the time. But no.
Okay, you're wearing a pup hood now. You're wearing your brand new pup hood that you just got recently, I understand.
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah, and that's neoprene, right?
Correct.
Now they make them out of, what other materials are they made out of besides neoprene?
So the most common that a lot of people go through, right, is Mr. S, because that's just internationally known. So we can start with them, I guess, first. I'm not saying that is a preferable place to go. I personally like their hoods. However, that is my personal preference. I'm not saying go to them, that's your only choice, because it's not. It's really not.
When they're in the Bay Area of San Francisco.
Exactly. California, and if it's close by, you know, I would definitely say, you know, go in there and, you know, check it out, you know, see things and then see if it's something you're interested in.
And they're very helpful there, I understand.
They are. They are very, very helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I have to tell you a story about Mr. S. I have a friend of mine who wanted a cock ring, and he was down in the San Francisco area, and he says, I'm going to go to Mr. S and buy my first cock ring. I was like, okay. You know, you can get them just about anywhere, but okay. And he says, yeah. He says, there was like three guys that were helping me try on cock rings for like 3 hours. And I was like, they weren't just helping you try on cock rings, dude. They were doing other things for you. Yes. He's like, oh, really? Seriously?
So it's actually funny that you mentioned that. So Mr. S is actually really good for this because they really help people. And the sales associates there are actually like trained in everything in the store. And so to give you like an idea, something that Loki got to try out that he's never been to Mr. S. And so when he's visiting here, I was like, we need to go. So we took a day trip down there and we went there to pick up his hood. But also, since we traveled so far, they're like, well, let's put you in a straitjacket. And they took down their, you know, $1,700, you know, straitjacket and literally fitted him into a straitjacket and basically, you know, showed us how to use it in all sorts of different ways to you basically experiment with the thing that before you buy it. And they do the same thing with the pup hoods too. You know, that they can show you how to put them on. They will have some to try on. They will, you know, give you all sorts of things. There's mitts, there's harnesses, there's slings, there's everything there's everything there that you can just try on. And they don't care. That's, you know, it's really nice. Except for there is a rule. You cannot do any bodily fluids on any of their merchandise.
You can't do any bodily fluids on the merchandise.
Unpurchased.
Once you purchase them, you can body fluid all you want all over the merchandise.
Correct.
Because it's yours then, right?
Yeah. Yes. You're owned. You own it now, so you can do whatever you want. But,
well, I mean,
to give you like an idea, that's the only store that you can literally walk in with just a jock strap and a pup hood, and everyone will not bat an eye and just let you go about your business.
I see. Did you walk in with a jock strap and a pup hood? I want to know.
Okay. Let me touch base on that. Okay.
We're kind of straying from the subject, but it's all about gear. But okay. Did you walk in a jock strap and a pup hood? I want to know.
No, I did not.
Okay. But
some puppy, not naming names.
Yes.
Told me to strip. So I got down to my jock strap and my new hood, and I walked around for like an hour.
And nobody batted an eye, did
well,
they?
Well, I wouldn't well, I say mean, anyone batted an eye. It would be more like everyone was staring directly at my ass and wondering when they can get a hold of it.
Well, of course, because, you know, you're walking around in a jockstrap and a pup hood. Why would you? I mean,
valid.
You're on display at that point.
See, I know.
Anyway, so what gear did you buy besides a pup hood while you were there?
Me?
Yeah. Anything?
I actually bought this one ahead of time, my custom hood, and they were going to ship it to me, but I was like, hey, I'm going to be in the area. You know, can I just pick it up at the store? Because I was like, that also gives me a reason to, like, go by and actually see it.
Yeah.
Because might as well. But no, I actually bought a muzzle. So they're, like I was talking before, how they're not full hoods. They're like a head harness type of thing.
Right.
And they have the snout. That's a that's a puppy muzzle. That's the term for it. Outside of that, I got a pleather, like a sleeveless shirt with a hoodie. And then on top of that, I got a pin, and I also got a new cage. I had to go and get fitted for another chastity cage.
Did you get bigger? Or did you get smaller?
long story.
How long is it? Ha ha ha.
Which one, and at what point in time?
Well, yeah, okay. So there's a chastity cage. Now, what is a chastity cage for those that are not sure what this is?
So a chastity cage is a device that's been around since the Elizabethan age. It was more for females because they had a thing called a chastity belt. So basically, back in the day, what that was basically, think of, like, for our male audience, right? Think of, like, brief underwear, right? So, like, comes, like, partially down the thigh a little bit, covers the butt, and covers the bulge. That's what a brief is. If that wasn't a good explanation, then I don't fucking look it up. I don't know.
Look up brief. It's very simple. Yeah.
So a
tidy whities.
A perfect example is Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes.
There's a scene where this lady is coming out of the water, and she has this big gigantic metal thing, and literally is like, "Oh, you better get out of the water before you start rusting." And, you know, this big, gigantic metal thing that is, you know, blocking her lady part, her vagina.
Blocking entrance.
Yeah.
Blocking entrance to her vagina for a penis. Yes.
So, on that note, and this is getting into, like, medical shit, but I don't care. Because it's important to talk about medical shit when it comes to this, because you can really do damage.
Yes.
So, back in the day when they had basically, like, big metal underwear that was locked on, there was the, like, issue with rusting, and there'd be, like, this is gonna get really gruesome, I don't care. There was ladies that would be in the bathtub for so long that they would rust, and over time they would rust, and they would never change them out until they found, like, a suitable, like, mate, so someone they were gonna marry. Because parents organized that shit, and they didn't have a say.
Right.
Until then, right, they had to wear it 24/7 from the age of, like, 10 or something like that. Pretty young age.
Yeah, wow. That's crazy.
So, they would have the issue of rusting, and then they would get, like, gangrene and shit set in on their upper thighs, and then they'd lose both their legs.
Wow, talk about crotch rot.
Yeah,
crotch rot. Yeah.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
But...
Definitely fucked up, yeah.
But new age, you don't have that issue. So for male chastity devices, so what it does, it's basically a cock and ball ring, right? So you put your balls through first, and then you put your, like, cock through, and you get it up tight against the skin, right? And you should have at least one finger, if not barely over. But anything over that, you run the risk of, like, when you get hard, right, it's going to move forward because that cage is not going to let you. So it's if you get it too big, it could either slip off or it could crush the fuck out of your balls, which
right.
And some people, that's not a good idea because once their balls start getting crushed, they get harder and then they have to go to the ER and get it cut off.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, true.
Sizing is very important, but there's a ring, right? It goes mm-hmm. behind the cock and balls, pressed mm-hmm. firmly against the body.
Okay.
And then you have a cage. So the cage is, you stick your dick inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pull it back, right? And you get the, there's usually two prongs, right? Either posts okay. or like flat pieces.
Okay.
And then there's a lock that goes through both the cage and the ring.
Okay.
So when you lock it in, the cage and ring can't separate.
Okay. So there's it can't come off your dick and balls.
Exactly. And for some people, they do it to themselves just whenever they want because, you know, whatever. Some people like it, some people don't. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be honest, it helps with, like, being productive throughout the day, right? Because if you're not thinking about fucking all day, every day, then, you know, you mm-hmm. tend to get more stuff done. But outside of that, it could also be used for, like, punishment and things like that. Mm-hmm. I use it because I kind of find it really attractive, and to be completely honest, I kind of like being fucked while it's on, even though it tends to, you know, cause some issues in some positions because I'm getting everything crushed and it hurts. Mm-hmm. And it's just not enjoyable.
I mean, it's so then why do it?
So I like it because it's almost comforting, and because there for a while I had a cage on for a really long time. And then when I mm-hmm. had it taken off, it took me like a year to get used to not having one on. And I was like, I feel naked.
Okay.
Even though I had clothes on and everything, it was right. kind of like, you know, like, and I have that same thing with like hoodies, right? So like, I feel like almost naked in a sense when I'm not wearing a hoodie. So I'm like almost 24/7 wearing a hoodie. He takes it off me or else I would, you know, sleep in one.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone gets a little upsetty spaghetti.
But, oh, would that be Canes? He gets upset he's spaghetti because you're not, because you're wearing a hoodie to bed?
Yes. So.
It's because he is a heater.
He's very hot.
Yes. He's literally a heater. And so when he's wearing clothes, he starts sweating. He doesn't necessarily realize that. And well, yes, I do like it, but at the same time, it's just easier if he's just, you know, naked instead of wearing, you know, three layers of clothing to bed. Well,
yeah, I can't wear clothing to bed at all. I mean,
yeah, I can't either.
I can't either. I cannot. It's like somebody says, well, why don't you wear pajamas? Like, nope. In fact, even during the dead of winter, I am such a heater that I will a lot of times just throw the covers off. Be 60 degrees in the house and I'm perfectly fine sleeping buck ass naked with no covers on.
See, I'm definitely not like warm as far as that is concerned. I steal a lot of his heat.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah. Cause I'm a cold, you know, bitch. Apparently
you're a cold bitch. Yeah. Yeah. Cold hearted bitch. That's
yes.
What you are,
yes.
Yeah.
Cold hearted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So true.
Well, it's always nice if you're going to be a heater to have somebody that's not a heater cuddle up next to you naked.
Yes, correct. So, and that's the cool thing is when I'm cuddling next to Loki, like it's like perfect because like I steal his heat and I don't give back any of the heat to him. Right. So we're not like sweating half to death, right. You know, in the bed. So
exactly. Exactly. So let's get back to gear. Why gear in the first place? Why? What makes gear important?
So gear is it can be a trigger, like we said. So it can help get you into that pup headspace. For instance, the neoprene hoods, they cut off some of the sound that you're getting from like behind you, and it's more focused on the front of it because it's going basically like it basically directs your hearing more to the front, and you're hearing a lot less too. So you have to be more focused on that one person or that one thing that you're doing. And then also, you know, just the fact that you actually have a hood, you can get your ears scratched like with the hood on, and it makes an actual sound that's very audible and it's very loud to the puppy. And so it's very impossible for them to ignore it. And so it's something to, you know, again, that's a trigger that can be a trigger. And for me, that is one of my triggers that basically I will sneak into pup headspace and get very like puppy when someone is scratching my ear. And
I'll keep that in mind when we're at a con together.
Yes, yes. You're knowing all my secrets now. I don't like this.
But that's what makes it exciting.
He's
being a brat again.
Yes, he's being a brat again. It's definitely a daily occurrence him. I think the audience is going to find out that him being a brat is very, very common when he's around me. But yeah, so like there's also harnesses. So like harnesses can be as well as, you know, there's a bunch of different types of harnesses as well. There's like leather harnesses, there's neoprene harnesses, there's rubber harnesses, there's even like nylon harnesses too that you can get. Mm-hmm. And then
they're very common in the furry world. I mean, you see a lot of furries wearing the
sled harnesses,
nylon harnesses.
Yeah, so sled harnesses are really notorious for the furry fandom because they look really good on the fur suits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also a 5-point, so it's just a little bit. Stop.
So what he's trying to say is that the two most common ones are for the furry fandom that overlap would be a 5-point harness, which goes is pretty much just like over the shoulders, over here and right there,
even though that's the breast and down by the it's over the shoulders, under the nipples, the
armpits, and
by the waist, and then some of them have some that go underneath the legs and come up around. Yeah,
that's a sled harness, which is an 8-point. And then 6-point, sometimes 5-point, are the two more common ones that are conjoined to across both fandoms.
Right. And then, so what's the harness for? I mean, other than aesthetic, because I have a harness. I bought a harness one of the second things I bought in the furry fandoms was one of these harnesses. And I think it looks cool on me when I'm wearing it. But I mean, that's all I wear it for is for coolness. It's like, look, I'm part of the fandom. I have a harness. Yay.
Well, what's nice about a harness is you can actually, so like for instance, if, Loki is wearing his harness, and again, don't just start pulling on puppies' harnesses because, if I ever especially see
if you
that,
don't know them.
Yeah. If I ever see that, I will, smack you or again, say, you know, really mean things.
Consent is it's all about consent.
Yeah, consenting is very, very important. But so with me and Loki, if Loki's being a brat, for instance, and we're at a fur con and he's wearing a harness, I will actually just grab the harness and force him to be kneeling or like heel to me as we're walking somewhere so that he can't go anywhere. Or if he's like trying to run away, like I can be like, no, you stay here. We're going to stay here for a little bit until we're ready to move on. So it's just like, it can be like it can be a dominance thing, to be used to like, be more,
dominant.
Yeah. Dominant.
Controlling.
Yes. Controlling.
Yes. I mean, you know, the harness I've got, I mean, I've got a couple of leather harnesses too, the 4-point, you know, underneath the arms and across there with the hole, stuff like that. And, you know, it's all about, you know, for me, it's a sexual kink as opposed to a, something else, you know, it kind of shows I wear it as I'm in charge. I'm the dom.
Yes.
You know, so,
again, but the gear is going to be all over the place on what people use it for. But some other, like, so like if we're talking about like just harnesses, like, yes, there's wide range of uses for those. But mm-hmm. if we're talking more about pup gear,
right.
you know, we can talk about pup toys, pup balls,
right.
Yeah. Chew toys, squeaky toys. If you ever go to right. a pup mosh and have a squeaky toy, you'll be everyone's best friend. I'm just letting you know right now. Hey. You will get a all stampede right. of puppies charging you for that squeaky toy.
Time to go to Petco.
Yes. Yeah. For real. It's actually funny you mentioned Petco because a lot of times people get collars, but then they'll actually do tags. Right. And they'll do custom yeah. tags. And people all the time ask me, like, where do you get those custom tags? And I go, PetSmart. And they're like, no, where do you actually get them? PetSmart. Literally yeah. go to PetSmart and just literally put in, like, it's literally a computer that you type in.
Yeah. There's a machine right there that makes yes. the tags for you. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yes. And so you can literally get whatever shape and whatever you want to say on it. And, mm-hmm. and I swear we like keep them in business. The
puppy community,
the pup community yes. Keeps them in business because people change their names and, you know, owned by and, you know, like all sorts of stuff on their tags all the time. So,
right.
But also yeah. something else that, you know, is mitts and gloves. So,
right.
So mitts and gloves can be, yes, it's a safety thing for your hands mm-hmm. as you're on them. You know, as a pup, but also it can be also a headspace thing because now you can't use your fingers.
Right.
So
you have to, you're a paw at that point. You have paws.
Yeah, exactly. You have paws. So it basically depends on the pup, but like, again, don't just, you know, spend your entire paycheck, at Mr. S or any sort of kink store because, mm-hmm. It's definitely, it's a slippery slope. Because I have a list of everything that I want. And let me tell mm-hmm. you, that list is very long. Because
give us an idea of what you have on your list.
So I want a leather sleep sack, which is basically, a leather, I guess it's like, okay. So you know what a sleep sack is?
A sleeping bag?
Yes. It's basically like a sleeping bag, but you can't move in it.
Oh, it's like a straitjacket.
Yes.
Sleeping bag.
Yes. Okay. So okay. literally you're put into this thing and you're
sounds like a body bag.
It kind of is a body okay. bag. For oh, sure. Wow.
Okay.
So they make leather ones, they make neoprene ones, they make rubber ones. So I want a leather one just because they're more resilient. Like you can actually like really go to town on that like tightness. Mm-hmm. of them, and the other ones are more like custom fitted to that person, so you can't like if I'm gonna buy one, I want one for me and Loki to use, not necessarily just for Loki or just one for me. So leather is
so the two of you in the same body bag.
No.
Oh,
at different times.
I'm confused
different
then
times.
So, oh okay. It's like, okay, let's get together and get in this body. Okay.
Yeah. No. So it's definitely individual. There is no room for anyone else. They barely fit around people.
Okay. And why? What is it for?
So it's a comfort thing. So just like a straight jacket, it's the same type of thing where you're so close together and you're held so mm-hmm. there so that you cannot move. So you're feeling that comfort of, you know, calmingness that you're in this helpless state, basically, but it is definitely a headspace that's involved in it.
Almost like a weighted blanket. That's yes. all the rage these days.
Exactly. It's basically like that, but a little bit more kinky and sexy because they'll have like holes for, you know, your dick to pop through or your ass to, you know, get inserted into something or, you know, nipple openings. So like there's some that have like little zippers where the nipples okay. are. So you can actually like okay. put nipple
clamps
on.
Are they like full face where they come up and cover your face and like little holes for your nose and stuff like
some
that?
Some of them are and others aren't. It depends on your personal preference.
All right. When you get that, I want you to bring it to the next FurCon we're at together because I want to see this.
Okay. It's also like $2,000.
Like I was going to say they're like $2,000 or $3,000, aren't they? Yeah. It's like, yes. All right. Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Sounds like you need to have a sugar daddy.
Yes, yes.
Are you offering?
Yeah, are you offering, Barely?
I'm offering. I'm more of a sucralose daddy, you know.
I don't have money. I'll just be your sugar daddy, though.
I'll be your sucralose daddy. I have no money. It's yeah. It's fake sugar.
Yeah, yeah, fake sugar.
It's like
Splenda. Splenda.
I'm your Splenda daddy. I'm gonna put that on my Grindr profile. I'm your Splenda daddy. I'll be your Splenda daddy. Whoa. All right. So, but that gets back to another thing. So, let's say you're a puppy and you're owned.
Yes.
Would your owner be responsible for buying all your stuff?
That depends on the relationship.
The dynamic.
On the dynamic.
Yeah.
There are some that definitely would do that. And that might be closer to, you know, like a daddy or a very close like mate, like me, because Loki's pointing at me because
did you buy him stuff?
Yes, I bought him some things. Not like
what did you buy?
Not extravagantly, but like, you know, a couple things from Mr. S that I was like, oh, these are really cute. I'm just gonna buy these for him.
Yeah. I mean, I've bought some things for some people. I've made some things for some people, for a while there I was doing the paracord stuff when COVID was really heavy and I had no place else to go because I couldn't go anywhere. I only had a power cord, so I made collars for people and did stuff like that. So,
yeah, yes,
it was fun.
I have a whole chainmail kit from COVID.
I have a chainmail collar myself. I mean, I wear collars because I think they're cool. They're kind of like a necklace, but you know, but I don't know that I'm a puppy.
Everyone has their preferences on what they want to use the collar for. The collar is literally going to be a whole other episode.
A whole other. Let's talk about collars.
Yeah, but it's going to be a big one.
But I want to point out to our listeners that Loki, during our conversation, took his shirt off and put a harness on.
Yes, yes. So legitimately, just to distract me.
Right. So I wanted to ask. There's a ring on the front. Now, yes. Is that where you could clip a leash? Or now, if I had a real dog, I would put that harness on so the clip was on the back, so I could control him from the back with the D-ring on the back.
Right. So with harnesses for human people, and for,
as opposed to non-human people, which right. are coming from other planets. Yes.
God knows where the fuck they're from. Straight people. I'm kidding.
Straight people. They're from another planet. Yes.
Anyways. No. So they're made to be up front.
Okay.
For just people or, you know, puppies in general. This one specifically is puppy related. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see, and obviously you can't. But it has
a puppy thing on
paw print right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Much like my whiskey glass.
Exactly. It's got a little paw print in Ohio.
Or my shirt, which has a bear on it. So. A bear paw. Yeah.
So it's up front. It's more for like a guiding D-ring.
Okay.
But because of how it's built, realistically for like suspension and things like that, you could lift off of this one point because it's pretty well guarded all the way around the body. That would be a safe, like one, obviously don't lift someone with just one point because it's going to hurt someone, but right. that'd be a good point to tie on to, if they had a harness on for like suspension and things like that. Okay. Which we can get into that because it's a whole fucking episode.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got the boy that comes over that likes to be tied down and stuff. I've got a harness for him, and I've got a full bed restraint system, and I will clip the carabiner right to that front thing and then tie him down to the bed. So,
right. There's not one back there.
There's no one back there, no.
But yeah, so there's... There's definitely a bunch of different things. I also know that he likes it a lot, so that's his problem now.
Yeah.
There's definitely like different styles too. So like his is a I think they call it a bulldog. It's a bulldog. Yeah, so it's a bulldog style. So it's
And right underneath the
armpits. Yeah, right underneath the armpits. A lot of times people actually don't wear them correctly. They put them down too far. So They actually want to be like right below, right below the neckline. So like they shouldn't be, they should be equal. So like the front and the back crossbar should be equal. Not one side is up higher than the other.
Right.
And then,
I mean, but there are harnesses though that go down that are worn lower because the O-rings circle the nipples.
Yes, there are different body styles. And then you styles, can put like the bulldog
nipple clamps in there as part of the harness.
Yes.
You know, if you're into that.
Yes.
Yeah,
cuz there are different styles too. There's a whole, like, literally you can dive into it, and maybe later on we can actually do like an actual video or something where we could actually, sure, you know, get further into that, and what they're named and everything else. But there's a bunch of just harnesses, and going into suspension, you can the imagination is literally where you're running into, because there's so many different options and styles of doing something.
So we're kind of cross pollinating now between sexual kink and puppy play. So you've got the same type of gear, but for different reasons.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, I find it extremely sexy to see him in his pup hood and his harness. But as I know you do too, because I'm, you know, watching your eyes dilate and everything. it's like, and his little 8-pack of abs right there in front of you. But
yes.
But that's not necessarily a thing that needs to happen in puppy play.
No, because, again, it can be sexual, but it cannot be sexual at the same time. So, again, the harness is there, yes, but it can be used in a sexual way for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. Yeah.
Like literally, you know, holding it, or, you know, forcing them in a position, or, you know, whatever,
a place to hang on to while you're fucking him in the ass.
Exactly. Yes. Or he's riding, or whatever,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can control him a little bit better.
Yes. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then, basically, but it can also be non-sexual. Like I was talking about with, you know, Loki being a brat and, you know, holding on to it or tugging it, saying that, okay, it's not time to move yet. It's literally just a handle to control him a little bit when he's in that mm-hmm. pup head space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of these can be like that as well.
Yeah.
So like a pup bone, you know, can be actually like mounted onto the face and actually like tied up like a gag, versus, you know, a squeaky toy that might not necessarily do the same thing, but it's kind of the same concept of something in their mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if he was to come over and mow my lawn dressed like that, I'd be a happy little camper. So I'd be a happy bear.
I think a lot of people would.
I think a lot of guys would. Yes. It's like, come mow my lawn this way.
Yes.
Weed my garden, please. Put this jock strap on and weed my garden. I want to see it over there. So, all right. So is gear required to be a pup?
No, it is definitely not. It can help, but it is not, it's not a mandatory thing. And this is what we were talking about. Like, go to Amazon, go to Wish, go to something cheap, find something mm-hmm. that you can actually try it out with and get into that headspace, or help get into that headspace, so that you can go from there and like try to get into that headspace and see if you like it or not. And there's different styles of hoods too, because again, Loki touched on it. There's, you know, people that don't like, you know, the full encased hood because they're claustrophobic or whatever, and that's why I think Rough Stuff is the one that first released it, but the the half muzzle muzzle type of thing, where it's just the muzzle part instead of the full hood.
Okay.
Mr. S also has leather ones that aren't full body, as full aren't full head as well, that are more like they're very kinky because like some have ball gags built into them, or or blinders, because blinders can be a thing too for that headspace to be focused on that one individual person that you're having to focus on. And there's all sorts of, all of it can be sexual and all of it cannot be sexual.
Right. Well, okay. So let's get into tails.
Okay. So tails.
Okay.
Tails.
So
are
Loki laughed a little bit with tails when I said that. So tails are, how do we say this? There's a lot of different tails.
Yes. So there's, different styles, but a rule of thumb before we even get into this is don't ever pull on someone's tail.
Never.
Unless you are given permission.
Not a puppy's tail or a furry's tail.
Yes.
Never pull on a furry's. Never.
Never.
Never, 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 never. Let's make this very clear.
Yes. And the reason why is safety and also respect. Safety reasons why is you don't know if that tail is actually in their ass or not. And
right.
I mean, like, fully inserted in their ass. They are
right.
butt plugs that are
right.
literally tail shaped that will, there's all sorts of them, but,
tons of them. Yes.
Go ahead, Loki.
So, on that note, I'm going to stop him right there really quick. So there are puppy tails from a offshores company. They produce tails for females that actually go inside the vaginal canal, and they're routed up to be about the same place as the anal production.
Or like, okay.
Is it in the anal tails? So that it, could be worse when, you're pulling out and then you're like ripping someone's vaginal canal.
Yes.
Instead of
yes.
just the anal ring. And then there's some that go in both, but that's still in manufacturing stage. So.
Wow. Okay. I've never seen one that goes into both, but that's interesting. But yeah. So there's like, well, okay, Loki, you were playing with a tail earlier.
So that is a show tail. So there's
a show tail.
So there's a difference.
It's worn with a belt, right?
Yes. So there's,
yes.
there's, basically ones that are worn with belts. These are more of the common ones.
He's putting it by his dick right now, so it looks like a big blue dick sticking out of his pants.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This is what he does.
He curves downward, apparently. oh, now he curves upward. Okay, there you go. There's a name for that medically, for curving downwards, by the way.
Yes. We talked about this before, didn't we?
We did not. Maybe in person, but not on a podcast.
I think in person we talked about this.
Yes.
The show tails are most of the time what you find people using for like cons or at pup events, because wearing a tail in the butt can be problematic for a few reasons, but also the comfortability of getting into that headspace. That the actual weight of it, you can actually feel inside your butt and also on your waist too with the with the belt kind. And so it just reminds you, oh, I have a tail. I can actually swish back and forth and actually feel it. Yeah, he does hit stuff all the time with his tail when he's wearing it.
He knocks
stuff off the counter and whatnot.
With your show tail or with your butt plug tail? Or both?
Both, yes. Both.
Okay. All right.
I
got a look all of a sudden when I said that. Why did I get a look? Wow, that was kind of rude.
The brattiness.
Brattiness,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So your tail is blue. Is that your tail or is that Kane's tail?
This one's actually mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually just bought Kane's, his Wolfie Show tail. That
How much does it weigh? Film. It looks like it weighs a lot.
Because
it's all like neoprene rubber or something, right?
It's a leather base that the belt goes through, and then the rest of it is actually silicone. It's molded silicone.
So it probably weighs like a pound and a half or so, I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, probably heavy. Like 18, 20 ounces, something like that.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So again, you're at a puppy mosh and you see tails all around, and some are plugs and some are not. So you do not want to tug on the puppy's tails.
You will have a lot of people, if you do that at a pup mosh, you will have a lot of people berate you and throw you out of the event.
As well they should, yes.
Yes, because it's just not a really safe, because some of these plugs are really large. Right. And yeah, like close,
like
to,
really
close,
large.
Close to like arm.
Fist.
Yeah.
Fist size.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thicker than fists sometimes, but mm-hmm. they go up there and they stay up there.
Right.
But yeah, so but it's again, it's a very, very fun way to get into that headspace. It is very mm-hmm. sexual. But yes. As you wag for the insertable ones, right. A lot of times it's actually hitting the prostate
right.
of the puppy. And so inside, as it's like moving, as they're wagging, it's actually giving them like a good feeling. Like it's actually
good
getting
stimulation.
Yeah, it's a good stimulation yeah. in multiple yeah. ways. Yes.
So, yes.
So they get hard and get more
excited. You have to put your microphone on there, Loki.
Well, he's just saying, you know, it gets them excited also, you know, it gets them right. hard, and then they get more excited because they're getting hard while they're, right. you know, in a pup head space. And then they get like more focused on it. So then they like, again, this is why pups kind of get more sexual. Cycle. Yes.
Yeah. It's a cycle. Yes.
Yes. Cause pups get like just horny and then hornier and hornier and hornier. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, I need dick.
Right. Yeah. Well, wow. I mean, I've got a friend who lives down in California, and he started getting into the puppy play, and we were at FC before the last FC before it closed for COVID, and they had their very first after dark. What do they call it? The vendor area, which is all the kink stuff and stuff like that. And I told him that I would buy him his first insertable tail if I could insert it.
Mm.
And he agreed, but then nobody had a tail available at that.
Ah, oh, damn.
The vendors. I was like, damn it. Damn it.
Missed opportunity.
Right. Yeah. I was like, oh, well. So anyway.
Yeah. So there's also vibrating tails too. Like you can literally get one that vibrates mm-hmm. with a remote. So like something that I've actually seen this before, but it wasn't a tail. It was just a hush plug. But mm-hmm. literally his owner had access to it. And
right.
he wouldn't buzz it unless he needed his puppy.
Okay.
So basically his puppy was in the mosh doing his own thing. Right. And basically he was like, oh, cause I was talking with him and he was like, oh, right. do you want to meet my puppy? And I was like, oh yes. He was like, okay, give me 1 second. He pulls out his phone and he, you know, vibrates his toy. And then literally this puppy just literally gets up and starts walking over here. And he's like, oh, hello. And I'm nice. Like, I'm well, like, there oh. you go. Hello. Nice to meet you.
It's a zap collar in reverse. Yes. If you buzz it and they come running. Yes. Like
exactly.
Or they come running and come or whatever, you know, who knows? Huff. Who knows? So huff, 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 huff. All right. Well, gear is important. It's not as important, but it is a big part of the puppy community. I mean, if I'm walking around and I'm a puppy and I don't have any gear on, nobody knows I'm a puppy.
So one thing that I did want to touch on too is there's different colors for all sorts of gear, right?
Right.
Don't worry. So people all the time are like, oh, is it part of the hanky code? And I go,
oh,
no.
Yeah.
So the hanky code is handkerchief. Mm-hmm. Yes, it can be considered a pup color as well, but most people aren't going to actually, just because you're wearing a yellow pup hood doesn't necessarily mean that you're into water sports. And, mm-hmm. I just wanted to touch base on that real quick. Cause, I've been asked that quite a lot.
That's funny because I know the hanky code was way back in the '70s, and that was a way for gay men to advertise what they were into without talking about it. And I kind of thought it went away, but now it kind of has come back.
No, it's always been a thing.
It's always been a thing, but it really hasn't been a
big
thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's...
I feel like what he's... what the point we're trying to get across is that it was very common back in, like, the 70s, 80s-ish era, and then it fucking basically disappeared and wasn't really heard of, and then all of a sudden it's making a second runaround. So, like, disco music did, like, in the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. All right. Well, I'm going to head out to the store, get me some chew toys and squeaky toys, and head out to the local mosh
be the most popular
handler in the world. You've been listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast about human puppy play and adult consensual sexual kinks. I am Barely Normal, and with me has been
Arf Canes.
Well, join us in 2 weeks when we talk about all things toy sexual. And we're going to talk about different kind of toys, how to use them, where you get them, and the pros and cons of some of these toys. We'll see you in 2 weeks.